itself. What's the moon got to do with this? When you know where you are in your cycle and what the moon is doing at the same time, you're more deeply attuned with yourself, which is only going to benefit you and those around you. Some women like to consciously sync their own cycle with the specific phases of the moon to enhance their monthly experience and connect deeper with the cycles of nature. So, if you'd like to experiment with this, try to stay away from artificial light and bask in as much moonlight as possible, ideally bathing in the moon's glow while you sleep. But do keep in mind that women can ovulate at all different phases and all are okay. There is no right or wrong, and I want this information to empower you, not give your mean girl extra ammunition. Take this information, but please don't be hard on yourself if you don't bleed on the new moon. It's okay, my sweet friend, and no, you are not broken. I'm simply giving you this information because knowledge is key. Knowledge is power. The more equipped you are, the better you understand yourself and others. The waxing moon phase. This phase of the moon represents newness, new beginnings, new growth, new sparks of insight. Ideas are being planted, cogs are turning, and exciting experiences are within reach. As far as your menstrual cycle goes, the waxing phase is a time to go inward, nourish yourself, and spend time thinking, learning, reading, journaling, setting intentions, and making new plans. The full moon phase. This phase represents power. This is the time to own your strength, make decisions, and bring something into being. For your menstrual cycle, this means it's a great time to focus outward. Put your extra energy to use by celebrating, feasting, and gathering with your tribe. If ever you're going to dance the night away or make crazy fast progress on a project, this is the phase to do it. Full moon party, anyone? The waning phase. The waning of the moon represents maturity and harvest. It's a time for knuckling down and doing the work. If you want those seeds you've sown to bloom into life, this is the phase where your efforts can make that a reality. Your menstrual phase is, again, outwardly focused. The harvest is within your reach. Do practice patience and persistence until it's ready to be reaped. Inspo action. According to the lunar cycle, where do you currently menstruate? Start to add this information to your charting diary or app and become aware of how you feel at different phases of the moon cycle and your own cycle. And remember, knowledge is key. Resist the urge to compare or judge yourself. All you are doing is empowering yourself with ample information to understand your sexy self better. The new moon phase. The new moon represents darkness. Just as the moon disappears from sight, so must the things that are not serving you disappear from your life, to be replaced by that which you actually desire. With its strong theme of shedding, releasing, and renewal, many women consider this the ideal time to bleed. You may feel sensitive, so going inward is imperative. Any emotional detritus that surfaces should be dealt with and let go. Connect with nature. Mother Earth, the goddess of all goddesses, the mother of all mothers, is the greatest healer of all time and mother to us all. She sparks creativity, soothes our nervous system, reconnects us to our soul, brings us back to the present moment, and can even freshen our perspective. Have you ever had headaches, felt agitated, had a low attention span or a restless night after spending too much time indoors in front of your devices? Maybe you just brushed it off, but it's the lack of negative ions. Professor of Anatomy Marion Diamond from University of California, Berkeley, has found that levels of negative ions are inversely related to levels of serotonin in the brain. Negative ions suppress serotonin levels in much the same way that natural sunlight suppresses melatonin. Hence, the invigorating effect of fresh air and sunshine and the correspondingly depressed feeling associated with being in a closed-in, dark space for too long. So what are ions? Ions are charged particles, and they can be charged negatively or positively. One type of negative ions, which are the type found abundantly in nature, is oxygen ions, with two extra electrons attached and are commonly produced from water molecules. There are approximately 30 to 100,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter in the air near a waterfall. Compare that to a stuffy, locked-up car, home, or office, which at best contains 0 to a few hundred negative ions per cubic centimeter. Quite the difference, right? This lack of negative ions can, in some people, lead to skin conditions such as eczema, psoriasis, rashes, and itchy eyes, and can also leave you feeling parched. My client Gabby came to me with what she thought was postnatal depression and with eczema all over her hands and face. She had recently given birth to her second child and was desperate to feel like herself again. She told me that most days she kept herself and her bub cooped up inside the house, windows closed, air conditioning on, and blinds shut, so as to stop anyone seeing in. No wonder she was feeling a little crazy. She had created a prison for herself. So I gave her the simple task of letting in fresh air and sunlight daily and making sure she got outside for a walk with her bub twice a day. After 2 weeks of doing this, she couldn't believe how much happier and more alive she felt. Not to mention her eczema had started to heal as well. A pretty sweet outcome from such a simple solution. Some scientists say that negative ions increase the serotonin levels in the brain without any of the crazy side effects that can accompany prescription antidepressants. So, remember when your nan used to tell you to get outside and get some fresh air? Turns out she was bang on the money. Go, Nan! Ways to connect with Mother Nature outdoors. Get outside as much as possible. Eat your meals outside in your backyard with your feet on the grass or on your balcony if you can. Take your shoes off and walk on the grass or beach. Dive in the ocean or swim in a lake, river, or waterfall. There are so many beneficial reasons to get your booty in the ocean. It boosts your immune system, provides relief from skin conditions such as eczema, acne, psoriasis, and rashes, is awesome for your circulatory and respiratory systems, can ease aches and pains, serves you up a hefty dose of minerals like magnesium, sodium, potassium, and calcium, all of which can be absorbed through your skin, helps eliminate toxins, and it makes you feel fan-frickin-tastic. You can even experience some of these benefits just by breathing in the ocean air. Hike in the bush. Hug a tree. Get out of the gym and work out outside in the fresh air by the beach or in a park. Have a walking meeting instead of sitting down in a stuffy boardroom with no windows. Catch up with your besties for a walk or a swim at the beach instead of sitting in a cafe and drinking lattes you don't really need. Stop driving or getting public transport and walk or ride your bike to work if you can. Not only will you reap the benefits, but you'll save loads of cashola too. Go camping. Instead of booking a hotel for your next weekend trip, head to a campsite. Not only will you have a ball, but it's so much cheaper. Walk your dog. Don't have one? Walk someone else's. So many animals are cooped up inside all day, which can cause depression in doggies. Yes, this is a thing. So do your pooch and yourself a favor by getting outside together. Take your kids to the park daily. Instead of whining and dining business associates, take them on a fun adventure like stand-up paddleboarding or kayaking. Work on your laptop in the park. Meditate outside in your backyard or on your balcony. Ways to bring Mother Nature into your home and office. Open your windows daily to let out toxins and let in fresh air. Let in the sunshine. It will help regulate and balance your hormones and your body's natural melatonin response. Go outside and feel the sunshine on your skin for 2 minutes first thing in the morning to regulate your circadian rhythm and tell your body and hormones it's time to wake up. Let in the moonlight. If you don't have streetlights right outside your window, you can sleep with your curtains open and get that beautiful healing moonlight on your skin. As an added bonus, this can help sync your menstrual cycle with the moon cycle. Turn off your bright blue lights and use Himalayan salt lamps. These babies release negative ions and give off a beautiful, soft glow to boot. Get yourself an air ionizer to clean the air you breathe. Get some indoor plants. A NASA study found that peace lilies, gerberas, and bamboo palms are the best plants for removing air toxins and generating negative ions. Change your lights to amber-toned bulbs, not fluorescent blue ones. Blue artificial light, which is very high in positive ions, stimulates cortisol and tells your body it's time to wake up, which is not what you want when you're trying to wind down in the evenings. Also, U.S. scientist Dr. John Ott, a specialist in attention deficit disorder, found that fluorescent blue lighting is linked with poor behavior in school children. Turn off your Wi-Fi at night and whenever you're not using it. Better yet, quit using Wi-Fi altogether if you can and plug into the wall via Ethernet. Ditch all the toxic cleaning and beauty products in your home. These can be full of nasty chemicals and toxins that wreak havoc on your health and are just another thing that you have to detox out of the air and your system. Save yourself the hassle and don't touch them in the first place. You can see that too much time spent indoors in front of your devices is physically not good for your body and mind, but it's also not good for your soul. When we deny ourselves connection to Mother Nature, we deny an inherent part of our true nature. Inspo action. Start with the two lists that I've just mentioned and add some of your own ideas. Then write or type out, whatever you prefer, your own nature menu. Stick them on your fridge and commit to doing one thing from each list per day. You can get your whole family involved by letting your kids pick what they want to do, then work out when you're going to do it, maybe first thing in the morning or straight after lunch or after the school pickup. Find a time that works for you and add nature time to your calendar. If you don't do it now, it won't happen. So go ahead and add it to your calendar right now. Integrate rest. As women, we play many archetypal roles and wear many hats. Wife, mother, partner, boss, business owner, stepmother, team member, sister, daughter, bestie, friend, aunt, godmother, carer, just to name a few. And the thing is, we want to be good, scratch that, we want to be brilliant at all of them. But at times, it can feel like we are being pulled and pushed in many different directions, which can disconnect us from our true God essence. With so many hats, roles, and responsibilities, it can make us feel like we are always on. Don't get me wrong, all that striving, achieving, and doing is imperative for getting stuff done. But it can make you more firm and less fluid, and you need rest and rejuvenation and to recharge daily, not just on self-care Sundays, otherwise you will burn out. If you suspect you might not be doing the best job of switching off, don't worry, you're not alone, sister. When I first officially became a stepmom, I wanted to do a really great job. In fact, I wanted to be the best damn stepmom I could be. But that feeling of always being on exhausted the heck out of me and burnt out my adrenal glands. No rest for the wicked was my motto, along with go, go, go. We have Leo 50% of the time, 1 week on, 1 week off. And of course, for the Leo weeks, I wanted him to have the best, happiest, most amazing, fun time with us. But holy Zeus, did all that trying and orchestrating wear me down. I was so tired with all the adventures, so overwhelmed with getting him from one playdate to the next, and so stressed worrying that he wasn't having the best time ever, that I wasn't my best self. I was the cranky, shitty, tired, stressed out version of me, which resulted in me having a very short fuse with Leo, Nick, and myself. So all my hard work to create a beautiful time for Leo was being undone. I soon realized that in order for me to show up fully for my family, I needed to rest, rejuvenate, and recharge daily. Not just on the weeks we don't have Leo, but daily. Once I started incorporating some rest into the days when we had him, everything shifted and I was a much nicer person to be around. Just ask the boys. In our modern day society, there is a strong emphasis on the doing instead of being. But that's not how we humans are wired, and it's not how we've evolved. Back when we were hunter-gatherers, there would have been a lot more time for rest, rejuvenation, and recharging, which I call RRR. Just think, there would have been songs and dancing around the campfire, days spent lazing in the shade of a tree, even entire weeks spent hunkering down in a cave, riding out the wet season. These off times are part of nature, yet in our modern, always connected, fast-paced world, we disregard that side of ourselves completely and push super hard in the opposite direction all year long. We manage one holiday per year, if that, and either side of that we push, 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 but our soul needs and craves regular RRR. RRR looks different for everyone. It doesn't mean you have to take 2 hours out of your afternoon to have a nap or spend a week in a cave. But if you wish to and can, please go for it. You could simply take 3 minutes to do some deep belly breaths, have a cup of tea outside, or just sit in the sun and, wait for it, do nothing. How's that for a novel idea? You could meditate, take a nap, rest on your bed, look out the window, have a bath, lie on the grass, look up at the clouds, or do some mindful coloring in or painting. Whatever makes you feel rested, rejuvenated, and recharged, do that. There is no right or wrong here, as long as you do what feels good for you. Inspo action. How are you going to add more RRR into your day? And when are you going to do it? Is RRR something you want to schedule into your calendar, or is it something you will intuitively tap into throughout the day? I do both. I schedule in time every afternoon for RRR, and I also check how I'm feeling throughout the day. If I'm feeling like I need to get up from my computer and go do some RRR, I will, without any guilt or mean girl chatter. Letting go of the guilt is super important. Social conditioning to do, do, do has created this sense of guilt, like we are letting down our team, family, or community by taking a 15-minute nap we so desperately desire. It makes us worry that we're being lazy, not contributing enough, not productive enough. But deep down, we know that we're more productive when we create space and prioritize time for RRR. Unleash your creativity. I'm not a creative person. I don't have a single creative bone in my body. I can't do that. I'm not the creative type. Sound familiar? I hear this often and used to let my mean girl tell me the same. I thought that because I wasn't a singer, a potter, or a painter, meaning because I wasn't good at traditional arty stuff, I couldn't call myself creative. But the truth is, creativity comes in many different forms, and I simply express myself creatively in other ways. Through my writing, the way I move my body in yoga class, how I dance around the kitchen while preparing a delicious meal, and how I tend to my plants. These are all ways I express my creativity. Creativity is an always present trait that needs to be expressed. When we deny this truth and suppress our creativity, it festers away inside us, causing dis-ease in the mind and body. The good news is, you don't have to be a musician, a sculptor, or a prima ballerina to be creative. Creativity is whatever it means to you. Creativity is that thing that makes you feel in flow and present. And when you do it, hours can fly past without you even noticing. It might even be that thing you did as a child that lit you up from your core. I know you know what I'm talking about. Not only will this allow you to connect to your God essence, but it also helps you to access a different part of your brain, which can spark brilliant ideas and even help you get perspective and solve any big problems that have been swirling around in your head. There have been many times where I've felt stuck with a particular issue. Then I put on some music and danced around my office, or I went outside and did some yoga on the beach and let out a bit of creative energy. Then when I returned to my work, boom, the answers came flooding in. Connecting to your divine God essence through creative expression can also help you release stress and overwhelm by elevating you into a flow state. Increase your self-awareness. When you get your creativity on, you access your deep desires and truth, which ultimately, when done on a regular basis, makes us more connected and in tune with ourselves and others. You experience tremendous joy, improve your health. A study published in 2004 in the Journal of Psychosomatic Medicine used writing as an adjunct treatment for HIV patients and found that this simple act of creative expression resulted in improvements in CD4 plus lymphocyte counts. In lay speak, this means that the act of writing improved their immune system and actually altered the cells inside their bodies. After all, everything is energy. So creating doesn't just make you feel good, it might well benefit the cells inside you. Feel purposeful. Creativity can make you feel like you're giving back and contributing to those around you or the world at large. Switch the heck off. These days, information is constantly bombarding us. Fact: we now receive 5 times as much information every day as we did back in 1986. So with stimulation and temptation constantly at our fingertips, we need to consciously make sure we turn off. A great way to do that is through creativity, particularly if you can lose yourself in flow. There are so many great benefits to creative expression, But for me, the biggest one is that it simply makes me feel good. And I'm all about doing more of what makes me feel good and less of what doesn't. Inspo action. All right, whip out your journal and pen. And this one is a two-parter. So part one. So that you can express yourself creatively each day, we're going to create your very own creativity menu. Here you will come up with 10 things that make you feel creative. And remember, creativity is whatever it means to you. Here are some ideas to get you started. Journaling or writing. Open up a blank document on your computer or whip out your journal and pen and simply start writing. You can pick a word or a theme and go from there. For example, let's say you choose the theme of love. You simply start writing with that as your guide. There are no rules here. Just start writing. Move your body. You can do this in private, in your bedroom, with some epic tunes blasting, or take yourself to a dance class, whatever feels right for you. Try something new like painting, drawing, creating a sculpture or woodwork. Sing without judgment. I love singing, although Leo and Nick probably wish I didn't. When I do it, I feel alive and free. My favorite place is in the car. Windows up and volume loud. Make something using your hands, pottery, a vision board, a scrapbook, or sew, knit, or crochet a garment. Get in the kitchen and cook. I love being in the kitchen alone. I get into a flow state and let the magic unfold. Do an acting class. Get in the garden. Paint, knit a scarf. Write sweet love notes. Make your own essential oil bath blends and products. And don't underestimate the power of sitting in stillness to get your creative juices flowing. There is no right or wrong when it comes to creativity. What's important is that you do what makes you feel creative and do it often. The more, the better. Okay, part two of this inspo action. Now it's time to whip out your calendar and lock in some creative playtime. You can do anywhere from 15 minutes to 2 hours, whatever works best for you. I personally feel the most benefit when I express myself creatively daily. Regardless of the frequency, make sure you schedule it in your calendar now. Otherwise, it won't happen. Saying, I'll do it later, isn't okay because it won't happen. So go and do it now. Tap into your intuition. Your intuition is also known as your gut feeling or gut instinct, your spirit, your soul's voice, your heart's knowing, your heart's voice, your truth, your inner wisdom, your higher self, your true self, your internal GPS, your internal compass, your inner voice, your innate wisdom. It doesn't really matter what you call it. All that matters is that you're deeply connected to it. Your intuition is that feeling that often can't be explained through words. It sometimes may not make rational sense to your logical mind, but to you, your higher self, it does. It's an all-knowing force that you must honor. I believe our intuition and our rational mind are both powerful. In fact, I believe they're most powerful when dancing together. Back in 2010, when I hit rock bottom and ended up in hospital, if you had have asked me what my intuition was, I would have raised my eyebrows in bewilderment. Back then, I was so unconscious and disconnected from myself that most days, I didn't know whether I was Arthur or Martha. But reflecting back, when I was laying in that hospital bed, there was a little voice inside me that said, sort yourself out, get your health and life in order, and you will live an epic life. I didn't know it at the time, but that was my intuition speaking to me. It's always been there, and so has yours. most of us have simply shut ourselves off from it and allowed our mean girls to take center stage. These days, my whole life and business are built on intuition. For every business decision I make, I tune in and make sure it's a whole body hell yeah from my intuition. Otherwise, it doesn't get the green light. For every personal decision too, whether it's accepting a dinner invitation, booking a trip away with friends, or simply deciding whether I'd rather move my body that day or rest, I tune in and wait for a yes or a no from my intuition. Everything, and I mean everything, comes from my intuition. There have been times when I've ignored my intuition. For example, I hired someone for my team because my rational mind told me she was good on paper, even though my intuition was bellowing, no! You can probably guess how things turned out. She didn't fit into our team and caused a whole lot of stress and anxiety in the process, not to mention almost $10,000 in legal fees, or dumb tax, as Nick and I like to call it. At least I learned my lesson. Then there was a time my intuition said, don't eat that sugar and gluten-filled chocolate brownie. And my rational mind said, one bite won't hurt. Then I was crouched over in agony all night with stomach cramps and fiery eruptions that sent me dashing to the toilet. And then there was the time my intuition told me to jump on the next available plane when I could sense my best friend Jess was almost ready to don her angel wings, so that I could spend her last days with her. But my rational brain kept saying, no, the doctors are saying she'll be fine, not to worry, and she'll be out of hospital in a few days. A few days later, when we were finally on our way to the airport to see her, she left her physical body. And although I know everything is perfect, there are still times I wished I listened to my intuition. None of this means you should ignore your rational mind. Please, always consider it. But remember to tune in to your intuition too, and give it equal weight and attention. It's waiting for you to turn to it and ask for its guidance. And remember, there's always a price to pay when you don't listen to it. Ignore your intuition at your peril. I've tried to rot this sacred system many times by convincing myself otherwise, but the universe always gives me a big fat lesson when I ignore my truth. The beautiful thing about your intuition is that it's like any muscle in your body. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So if you practice listening to your intuition and living from that space, it will become so prevalent and loud, so to speak, that in times when you need to make a fast and important decision, you'll hear it loud and clear. But what if I don't know the difference between my intuition and fear? I'm glad you asked. What has worked best for me and how I differentiate the two is that my intuition I can feel in my body, mostly in my gut, whereas fear usually comes from my head. So if you are unsure which is which, tune into your body. It holds the answers you're seeking. How to strengthen your intuition. Be still. One of the best ways to strengthen your intuition is through stillness. When we get still, we're able to hear that inner voice. But so often we're surrounded with so much noise from the outside world, not to mention our mean girl, that it's too loud to hear. Make sure you take time out each day to get still. Quieten down your mean girl and connect inward. Make sure you show up with no agenda or expectations. Just sit and be and allow whatever's there to rise to the surface. Tune in. Ask yourself, how do I feel right now as I talk to this person? How do I feel right now as I do the dishes? How do I feel right now as I work on this project? Meditate. A daily meditation practice allows you to connect with your intuition by helping drown out some of the mean girl chatter you may have going on in your mind. There is a common misconception that you must stop all thoughts during meditation, and that if you don't or can't, you're not meditating properly. This is not the case. Thoughts are part of meditation. Just as clouds pass across the sky, thoughts are the same. When they pop up, we let them pass on by. We don't swear at them and get angry they are there. We simply let them keep floating on their way. When I first started meditating, my thoughts were popping up every few seconds. It would have sounded like this. Cloud, 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 cloud. Now, after years of practicing, my meditation might sound like this. Cloud, 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 cloud. The space between your thoughts broadens, and in that space is an opportunity for your intuition to speak up. But if we fill that space, there's no room for our intuition to shine. This is why a regular meditation practice to strengthen your intuition is imperative. And if you already have a meditation practice, you can take it to the next level by writing down an intuitive feeling, insight, or calling you have had during your medi. Then honor them by writing down ways you can embrace and put them into action. Free write. First thing in the morning, when you're still moving from the unconscious to the conscious realm, whip out your journal and write. Don't let your mind jump in. Express yourself freely and uncensored. This is a great way to tap into your intuition. Slow down. When we're busy racing from one task to another, frantically ticking things off our to-do lists, we can't hear our intuition. Being slow and intentional with your movements and pace throughout the day allows your intuition to jump in whenever needed. Inspo action. Close your eyes. Place your hands over your heart. Let go of any mean girl thoughts. And fully allow yourself to be here. Once you feel present, tap into your intuition. What's it saying to you right now? Nothing comes up, that's okay. Sit with it a bit longer. Once something pops up, you can gently open your eyes and free write. This is often the time when big ideas or perspectives come flooding in. Value vulnerability. Often we shy away from vulnerability out of fear of others' judgment. We're so scared of people seeing who we truly are that we keep them at arm's length and insist on wearing masks to hide our so-called flaws. But I'm about to drop a massive truth bomb on you. Vulnerability connects us and makes people lean in. It is the most transformative, life-altering aspect that connects us to our God essence. I have experienced excruciating, gut-wrenching, makes me want to vomit, wailing like a baby, heartbreaking, rip my heart out of my chest and reverse over it a million times with a semi-trailer pain twice in my life. Once was when my best friend Jess left her body in 2015, and the other was after my first heartbreak at age 23. That first time I thought my life was over. The pain was so intense and I'd never experienced anything like it. So I did what I thought was the smartest option, and that was to close off my heart, lock it up and throw away the key. That way, I thought, it could never get broken like that again. As a result, the years that followed were shallow. Shallow relationships and shallow friendships, because I never allowed anyone to get too close. But your truth yearns for deep love and connection, the kind you only experience when you open wide and get real and vulnerable. Of course, don't get me wrong, it can feel totally scary to do this, and your mean girl will tell you to stay closed up like a vault. But don't listen. Unlock your heart and let people in. Being open wide is where the real magic happens. Inspo action. Are you being fully vulnerable, open, and honest with yourself? If not, what are you not wanting to see? What are you hiding from? Are you being fully vulnerable, open, and honest with others? If not, why not? What are you scared of? What do you see in them that you refuse to see in yourself? Where can you be more vulnerable? Who can you be more vulnerable with? I know speaking your truth and being vulnerable can feel terrifying, but it's the best way to connect with yourself and others, which means it's going to help you have richer, more fulfilling relationships, not to mention body-quivering, soul-stirring sex. And remember, that's the point of all these tools, tips, and exercises. By dialing up your divine God essence, you can rock the bejesus out of your relationships and experience soulful sex. But it all starts with this uber important groundwork. Love your temple. True God essence energy loves the temple she has been given for this lifetime. She knows there's a whole lot more to her than just her physical form, but she looks after it, honors it, and cherishes her vehicle. She befriends and loves her body. She accepts what is and lets go of the past, including how she used to look. She doesn't compare her body to others or to hers when she was 18 years old. She accepts that women need more body fat than men for balanced hormones and to bear children. She also knows that the more she loves herself and her temple and truly sees her own beauty, the more beautiful she becomes. Inspo action. Place your hands over your womb, the inner sanctum of your most sacred temple, and repeat, I love you. 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 Do this every morning before you open your eyes and jump out of bed. Collaborate and connect. For years, women have gathered together to share, support, and bless each other. There were goddess groups, blessing circles, red tents, and more, all created as venues where women could hold space for each other. That's exactly why I first created my own goddess group, as a way for myself and my soul sisters to unleash our divine god essence. The idea was simple, a monthly gathering in my lounge room on the full moon with a bunch of my besties. Though it started off as just a casual thing, it quickly became one of our favorite events on the calendar. One that none of us wanted to miss, even though we all had full lives. If you've read Mastering Your Mean Girl, you know I don't use the word busy. We all had loads of things going on, people to catch up with, loved ones who needed feeding, and to-do lists as long as the Mississippi. But for us, that wasn't a good enough excuse to not make it each month, because we knew our own inner God essence was craving that oh-so-important sister-to-sister connection. The truth is, all we humans are hardwired for soul-to-soul connection. This is not something to be ashamed of. It's something to celebrate. So here's everything you need to know to host a divine goddess group with your own soul sisters. Number one, pick the host. Pick a host and the date, preferably on the full moon if you can. That way you can soak up all the full moon energy together. Step two, give plenty of notice. The host sends out an email or a digital calendar invite confirming the details. Mine sounded something like this. Beautiful goddesses, please join together for the next goddess circle on, you can insert the full moon date there, at my place. Please arrive at 6 p.m. and bring an organic dish to share. Looking forward to seeing you there. Please RSVP. Love, Melissa. It's important to send out this email a month in advance, especially if your friends have kids. They need extra time to make arrangements for a babysitter. Step three, plan the feast. The host usually cooks one main dish, with guests bringing along a share plate as well. I'd often make an organic vegetable curry, which was cost-effective, easy to make enough for everyone, suited all dietary requirements, and a huge hit. In my circle, we try to ensure that all of the food is organic and gluten, dairy, and sugar-free. We also make sure there are a few vegan options for those who choose to not eat animal products. Stuck for ideas on what to make? Check out some of the delicious recipes in my ebook, The Glow Kitchen. Get creative. Think colorful salads, roast veggies in coconut oil, cultured foods, warm soups, coconut curry, kelp noodle, pad thai, vegetable frittatas, and hearty casseroles. Step four, set the mood and feel. As the host, the atmosphere you create for your sisters is so important. I like to light beeswax candles, burn sage before they arrive, put on some beautiful heart-opening music, dim the lights, diffuse some essential oils, and make the space as warm and comfortable as possible. Step five, welcome the guests. As the host, you can pop a cute jewel or a flower crown on their head as they enter for an extra dose of goddessness, or give everyone a cleansing sage bath as they enter. As a guest, always be conscious of the energy you bring into the space. Also, try not to be late. The energy of rushing and hurrying isn't an ideal way to start your evening of sacred sisterhood. If you're running late, send the host a text and let them know, and always leave enough time to find parking so you don't stress yourself out. Step six, blessing. Once everyone has arrived, we all sit. The host gives thanks for the food and for each other, and then says a little prayer. We then eat and talk, then eat and talk some more. Step seven, sacred ceremony and the talking stick. After dinner, we all sit on the floor in a circle. You can have your herbal tea and raw cacao goodies to the side, but this is the more intimate part of the night. This is also a great time for the host to mention that whomever has the talking stick or talking crystal is the only person allowed to talk. We go around in a circle, and if someone bursts into tears, you don't rush over to them or say anything. Allow that person to fully express themselves and feel heard. The rest simply sit and hold space for that goddess to open wide and speak freely without judgment. Step eight, releasing ritual. There are so many ways that this can unfold. I like to hand out some pens and sticky notes and get everyone to write down one thing they want to dissolve or let go of currently in their life. Once everyone has something written down, you start with the host and you go around the group, reading them out to each other, then scrunching them up and throwing them in a bowl in the middle. Some people like to burn the papers, but I prefer the less risky and less smoky practice of scrunching and releasing. There is also something really powerful about publicly declaring what you want to let go of. It helps hold you accountable. Step nine, gratitude. After releasing comes gratitude. We all write down one thing we're deeply grateful for and one thing we want to call into our life. Again, we all go around the group and share what we've written. And that piece of paper we take home with us as a reminder. Step 10, the wrap up. The night wraps up whenever you feel like it. For us, it's usually with plenty of hugs and loads of divine grounded energy thumping in our hearts. Here's some helpful tips. Be on time. It's important everyone knows that what's happening in the circle stays in the circle. The circle is a safe space for everyone to express their truth, feel heard, and show up authentically. Honor that sacred sisterhood pact. Throughout the night, we like to recommend books, recipes, cafes, healers, films, albums, and documentaries to help support each other, so bring a notepad. In summer, it's great to hold the goddess circles outdoors, so you can soak up the divine energy of the full moon. There is something so incredibly powerful about tuning into that potent energy of the moon while with other women, especially at that time of the month. Employ the no phone rule. We have a no phone after food rule. Sure, take photos of the epic feast and each other, but then put your phone on silent or on airplane mode. It's very distracting when someone's phone keeps dinging every 2 seconds. Respect your sisters and be present. Inspo action. Now it's your turn to plan your own goddess circle. Write down the names of some women you would like to invite. Get on Google and check when the next full moon is. Send out an email invite and get planning, sister. Key takeaways from chapter 2. Draw on the archetypes whenever you want to unlock your sacred power. The warrioress, the lover, the goddess, the queen, the priestess and the wise woman are all there to help you unleash your true god essence. Master your mean girl daily. That fear-based voice inside your head doesn't have to be your reality. Master her whenever she pops up. Create sacred practices and rituals. Design your own, then show up daily. Any practices that slide you into that state of mindfulness are particularly powerful for unlocking your divine god essence. Remember that Mother Nature is your bestie. Nothing switches off your stress response or gets your inner goddess glowing faster or more effectively than getting out into nature. Whether you're a beach babe, a mountain maven, or even just a backyard beauty, get outdoors as much as possible. Understand your menstrual cycle. Women are cyclical beings, and when you tune into your own internal menstrual cycle, not only will you get a deeper understanding of yourself and your body, but you'll strengthen your connection to your divine god essence. Connect with your soul sisters and brothers. Collaboration is the name of the game. Gather your nearest and dearest friends and host your own goddess circle. Part 2, Cultivating Rocking Relationships. Chapter 3, It's Not Woo-Woo, It's You-You. Love Yourself First. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. Buddha. Some of the things mentioned in this section I touch on in my book, Mastering Your Mean Girl, but I really want to encourage you to not skip over it, because it's a great reminder. One of the most ignorant things that we can say is, I know this. Yes, you may have heard something before, and let's face it, there's really no such thing as new information when it comes to spirituality and personal growth. Everything has already been said before by someone over the last few thousand years. But The real question is, are you living it every single day of your life? Are you the walking, talking example of these principles? For most of us, a timely reminder is always a good thing. So even if your mean girl thinks you know this, I encourage you to dive in with an open heart and beginner's eyes, because you can never hear this information too much. More is always better. To cultivate rocking relationships, it starts with you. It's all about self-love, self-compassion, and softness towards yourself. And you, my friend, are about to become an expert on the topic. To experience deep love and soulful sex, the first step is becoming bursting and overflowing with love within yourself. Loving yourself first and foremost is paramount if you want to experience deep love. Radical self-love equals rocking relationships. Self-love is not selfish. And just like Buddha says, you, as much as anyone else in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. So, let's dive in, shall we? Self-love lesson number one, quit people pleasing. The first lesson toward deep self-love is quitting people pleasing. All my life, I've watched my mum and all the women around me people please. I grew up in a very Catholic Italian environment with a huge focus on family and loads of shoulds. You should do this for your brother because he's your brother. You should act a certain way when you're at church. You should. These words were drummed into me for as long as I can remember. So naturally, because this was what I saw, this is what I copied. From as young as 7, I remember people-pleasing. Case in point. A girl at school wanted my new doll, and because I didn't want to upset her, I gave it to her, even though I really didn't want to. Then at 15, I remember downing a bottle of vodka because a group of friends I was hanging out with were peer-pressuring me. In that moment, I wanted to say no, but I ignored my intuition and did it to please them and to be liked and accepted. I've also got into bed with men when I really wanted to say no, said yes to dinner invites when I really meant no, and driven 3 hours to drop something to a friend when I had loads of work to do, was exhausted, had a child to tend to, and I really wanted to say I can't right now. But I did it because I was too scared to stand in my truth and do what was right for me in that moment. It's super important to note that saying no doesn't mean you have to be forceful or rude. It can totally be done with love. One of the most powerful sentences you can say is, "No, thank you," or "Thank you so much for the offer, but I'm going to have to pass this time." You don't need to give an explanation if you don't want to, and you don't need to justify your truth. You do, however, need to honor your truth. If you don't, the universe will give you a swift kick in the bum. There is always a price to pay when you ignore your truth. Every single time I have said, "Okay, sure," or "Yes," when I really, truly, deeply wanted to say no thank you, there has always been a consequence. Like the time I agreed to run an errand for a friend, got pulled over by the police and got not one, but 2 fines for speeding and crossing double white lines. Then there was the time I let a friend move in when I knew it wasn't a good idea, and it ended in tears. She almost tore my then partner and me apart and caused a lot of stress, not to mention didn't pay her rent. It took hitting rock bottom in 2010 for me to realize people-pleasing was a stinky habit I had learned and that it was something I wanted to unlearn, because frankly, I was over it. People-pleasing had burnt me out, given me fatigue, and scorched my adrenal glands. But when you've had 24 years of practicing something, you tend to get pretty good at it. So unlearning how to people-please was a mighty task. But I did it, and so can you. It's important to note that no, I am not perfect, and there are still times when I catch myself wanting to people-please, but I'm aware of it now and I can stop it in its tracks. Are you willing to quit people-pleasing once and for all? Because I was surrounded by people-pleasers growing up, I didn't have many examples of how to model the opposite kind of behavior. That is, until I manifested an amazing example in my father-in-law, Grazie. A few years back, my parents and mother-in-law flew into town to celebrate Leo's birthday. But Grazie didn't come. When everyone arrived, my father asked where he was. I said, he doesn't like flying and he didn't want to come. The look on my father's face was like I had just told him Jesus wasn't the Son of God. Yet I felt totally neutral about Grazie not being there, and so did everyone else. My father flew off the handle and responded with, "That's ridiculous. He should be here." To which I replied, "Actually, Dad, it wasn't his truth. He doesn't like flying, and if he came out of obligation, he would probably be a total grump and spoil the fun for everyone. Much better that he honored his truth." This took my father by surprise. After the redness left his cheeks, he responded with, "I guess you're right, love." What happens when we people please is we're actually stopping ourselves and the people around us from having a true, authentic experience. It's fake because your truth is saying and desiring something different, which is okay, my sweet friend. You can't do and be everything for everyone all the time in every moment. You'll burn yourself out like I did. This doesn't mean you can't do nice things for other people. Please keep doing them. I am constantly doing nice things for others, but I do them because I want to and from a place of love, not because I think I should. There's a big difference. There may be times when you have to drop your nan's laundry off, but all you want to do is hang on the couch. If you've been living in alignment to your truth, you'll find you actually have accumulated such a generosity boost, it'll be easy to put your nan's needs ahead of yours. It'll be easier to say yes when it's important, because you've given yourself permission to say no when self-care is what you really need. Inspo action. Think of a time when you've done something for someone because you thought you should. How did you feel? Now think of a time you've done something for someone just because you wanted to. How did that make you feel? Reflecting on what you've written down, can you feel the difference? It's a very different energy when you do something because you think you should versus doing it because you simply want to out of love and kindness. It's so much more impactful and meaningful. Same applies when someone does something for you if they genuinely want to do it. You can feel the difference too. When my mum does something for me and I know she wants to, it feels very different from when she does it out of obligation and thinks she should because I'm her daughter. Think of a time when someone has done something for you when you know they didn't really want to. How did you feel? Think of a time when someone did something for you and you knew they really meant it. How did that make you feel? There's a definite difference. Can you feel it? But that still leaves us with a big question. How do we stop people pleasing? The answer? Through awareness. Awareness is key for your growth. To ignite any sort of transformation, awareness is your best friend. Once you know